This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I know Donald Trump. I have known him for 16 years, and Chuck Schumer's known him a lot longer than I have. Mm-hmm. And I think he knows full well he's not a threat to democracy. And you don't even have to take my word for it. Look at what he did when he was in the White House. Like, there was never any threat to democracy when he was in the White House.
Well, there was an attempted coup of the country.
Well, that you can argue that a lot of different ways. Peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard is not an attempted coup. What was a coup was when they replaced Joe Biden with Kamala Harris, who was not elected by anyone to run for president. There are 14 million people who voted for Joe Biden to be the nominee for the Democrat Party. And if you want to talk about a real threat to democracy, I would argue that.
I think that's a good point, Lara Trump. She's speaking with Charlemagne the God there about this whole idea that Donald Trump is somehow or another a threat to democracy. And I feel as though they've really doubled down on that in the last month or so, that the scary man of Donald Trump is, it's where they're going to take this to the end of this election, that he is somehow or another scary. He's a threat. And, you know, this is going to be a poll question this week. Do you care about January 6th? That's going to be a poll question. It's not today's.
Okay, good. But looking forward to it.
But it's definitely one that I think will be, my anticipation is that it'll be kind of shocking to some to see those results. Like, do you even care about it?
I can't wait for that question. That's going to be a fun discussion.
Today's YouTube live chat poll is, will you trust the results of the election? Which is maybe a precursor to that one. Yes or no? Will you trust the results? Will Scharf's going to be in the studio with us in the next segment. So 15 minutes from now, you got to be tuned in right here. We'll have him in studio so you can watch it live on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. You can stream us on the Odyssey app. If you're out and about right now and you're getting lunch or whatever, make sure you've got the Odyssey app on your phone and you can take us with you wherever you go. And it's crystal clear the way it comes in worldwide. I'm going to ask Will Scharf about that from the very beginning. We've talked to him before about election integrity, so he knows a thing or two about it. But isn't that the whole question? Are you going to trust what happens on November 5th? Because, you know, I have a sense of what's going to happen in this election. I have a confidence about what's going to happen in this election. But I'll read Andy's comment on our YouTube live chat poll. He said, only if Kamala wins. We all know Trump will do his best to steal it anyway. I don't know if Andy is sincere in that comment or if he's just flipping the nouns to make a point. But I feel like people on the left, like Andy, are only going to trust the results if Kamala wins. And the people on the right are only going to trust the results if Donald Trump wins. Are you prepared for your candidate to lose this election? Do you think it's possible that Donald Trump will actually lose the election in a fair set of circumstances? And I think that the lack of willingness of journalists to investigate, of the media to report on, the curiosity that exists behind questions of whether or not the election was fair, you're shut down so fast if you ask any questions about this. And you've been canceled and ostracized if, especially right after the election took place, if you participate in this type of, it was very consequential for you to step up and ask a simple question that might have factual evidentiary answers that you don't like, but you weren't even allowed to ask the question. That is the main source of eyebrow raising that I have, is that we have not asked the questions. And before people are like giving me the exact number of court cases that were tossed out, there was never a piece of evidence that was ever looked at in any of this. It was all tossed out. Now, that might mean something to people. You could make the case from the pro that side of the aisle that there wasn't enough evidence to carry out a trial. But we do know that the courts did not want to get involved in what would appear to be overturning the results of an election. But if you're on the Trump side, you're talking about protecting the results of this. So, I mean, we didn't have this conversation. We weren't allowed to. And going into the January 6th conversation is, do you even care about January 6th? January 6th was the gold seal on this will never be talked about. The 2020 election will never, ever, ever be allowed to be talked about outside of the framework of you either trust the election results or you're an insurrectionist. January 6th made it so taboo to ask the question that we just kind of sat by and didn't, and the media didn't participate in it. And I'm here to tell you that if it all would have been litigated, if all would have been tried out in the court of law or what, however those things work, and at the end they're like, yeah, Joe Biden is the president, there would be so many Americans who would be going, okay, okay. But we never did that. And so you just leave all the skepticism and everybody fills in the blank spot of the facts that we never got to actually, the conversations we never actually got to have, with the most conspiratorial things that you can muster. And here we are to the YouTube poll today. Will you trust the results of the election? Yes or no? Ryan Wiggins is back.
Hi.
Hi.
Glad to be here. Glad to see that this is the question today. You are exactly right about the blank spot. That's the trouble, is that we never filled it in. We never found out whether there was fraud. We never found out that there wasn't. And that has been the hardest thing about reporting on this from, you know, behind the microphone, is that I look into these things. I know a lot of people are very willing to look into these things. The trouble is, when you look into something and you don't find the answer, then you still have question marks, because the people with the resources, I can't go to Maricopa County and do this research by myself. The people with the researches, they'll shut it down. The Democratic Party did not want to participate in that audit of that election. But then on the other side, there are claims being made and have been made that are totally false about election fraud. Mike Lindell, I'm going to throw some bombs here. He has made some some claims that were totally bunk.
Yeah.
And you got to call those out, too.
So you're not a MyPillow guy?
I'm not dashing the pillows.
I just want to tip everybody off. We were at Johnny Brock's looking for the costumes we're going to wear, and all Ryan wanted to do was find a Mike Lindell costume.
That is not quite true. I will say I respect the mustache.
Don't you have the My Pillow guy? All you wanted to do was wear that costume with the facial hair.
That is not at all true.
That's true.
I did have a costume with some facial hair that I was interested in.
Yeah. Really,
but it wasn't Mike Lindell. It was somebody just to drive you crazy. But
could have been Mike Lindell.
I will say that I would like the idea of just wearing pillows. That sounds like something I would like to do outside of Halloween.
You'd be the My Pillows guy.
Just wearing pillows. Like you'd sort of indestructible. It'd be like wearing a bubble.
Yeah, I mean, when I hear people in the media or pundits, especially like if you're coming from CNN or MSNBC, the first question they ask is January 6th. There is such great value to the left in January 6th. I've been saying this for a long time. January 6th didn't hurt Trump as much as it helped the left. January 6th stopped Donald Trump from being able to watch the constitutional process of challenging the results to an election, which is there's a constitutional process for that. It was about to happen. The air quotes insurrection did stop democracy from playing out to the benefit of Democrats. And when I look at it as something that actually benefited Democrats, and we don't have answers about it, and we watch the feds not respond with forthcoming information about their participation in it, I'm just sitting here going, side-eyeing, going like, well, would somebody please say something that makes sense to me? Would somebody please just come out with the truth and make it make sense? I don't have an angle. In fact, I aggressively want the most obvious things to be true. I am very invested in the idea of there not being some sort of, you know, far right kooky shadow government of people who are out there instigating and breaking in that we're all plant. Like, I think that's cray cray. But I want someone to prove that it is crazy. I want someone to come out and say it. I don't want to sit here and go, well, obviously, mentally, we want this to not be the case. But when I look at who benefited from all of this, and we do see that Donald Trump was telling people to peacefully and patriotically let their voices be heard, and then, you know, people will be like, well, that's what he said, but that's not what he meant. Listen, why is it that when the Senate was prosecuting Donald Trump after the impeachment over this, why is it that they played all of his words but those? Why did they specifically leave them out? The Democrats are the ones who made those words valuable because they cut them out. They had to take those, edit those words out in order to make their case, which makes me think that including the words, which are there with everything else that they played, was detrimental to their case. The left had everything to gain from January 6th. So I guess in that regard, I do care about January 6th. Yeah. I want to know why the left did it.
Yeah,
I said it.
When you have to hire primetime producers to put together this coalition of only Democrats,
you don't have to hire primetime producers.
No Republicans other than ones that are currently campaigning for Kamala Harris that were on that coalition or that that board. That just tells you everything that you need to know. That it's all one sided. There was no actual looking for truth there.
Also, the Republicans who are involved in the ruse. I mean, we haven't really talked about those documents. I can't remember the specific details off the top of my head, but like testimony that was delivered that now is like, well, that wasn't exactly accurate how the way it was given under oath. Hope Hicks, wasn't she part of that?
Hope Hicks, Cassidy Hutchinson.
Yes. So, I mean, you have, there's just all of these things that came together in secrecy. The committee that they put together was a select committee that Nancy Pelosi handpicked. The Republicans weren't allowed to have a participation in who served on that committee. They picked the two Republicans who are now stumping for Kamala Harris. Like, what are you afraid of when it comes to Donald Trump being the president? What is so scary to you? Because I remember when Donald Trump was the president, and it was easier to raise my family when Donald Trump was the president. It was easier to live in this country when Donald Trump was the president. It was safer to live in this country when Donald Trump was the president. I know this with my brain. I haven't had this plugged into my understanding of the world through some sort of handed out talking points, which you see come out of the left all of the time, where they're using the exact same vernacular from interview to interview to interview, network to network to network, where they're really trying to push, you know, the same concept of these are threats to democracy. We've seen that one take its laps over and over and over again. I know what it's like to live in Donald Trump's America. I know what it's like to raise a family in Donald Trump's America, and I prefer it. How is it that the people like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger are so morally opposed to what we know to be true when it comes to living in this country? Knowing that the world was safer when Donald Trump was the president. I mean, there's not a box that Donald Trump doesn't check for me. There's not a single box that Kamala Harris has come out and advocated and be like, well, she does offer that. The only thing she offers is not Trump. And everything Trump has to offer is better for me, for my family, for my pocketbook, for my safety, for my security, my confidence in the future of this country. Every single box. January 6th is what they have. And I don't even think they have it.
No,
I think they did it.
That's all they have, because if it were an open and shut case, they would not need to control the narrative about it the way that they have. But they had. They
and keep it up.
And drag it out for as long as possible. There are people, and I'm not going to name names, but there are people that I have spoken to who are not Republicans. They're not really Democrats either, but they're not Republicans for sure. They're so sick of January 6th. They told me that because they know I'm on conservative radio. They're like, look, I don't agree with a lot, but I'm so sick of hearing about that. Like, they know that it's just a political tool at this point.
If it were an open and shut case, Donald Trump would be behind bars. Period and point blank.
That's a fact.
There is nothing else that they would love more than to see that man behind bars, and they can't do it.
Well, it's not about being behind bars. It's about keeping him from being the president of the United States. If he would have come out after all of this and been like, I'm toast, I'm cooked, then what would have happened is they would have let him shuffle off into oblivion, and then that's fine. They didn't go after him until he decided to go after the presidency once again. This is all contrived so that Donald Trump never gets the levers of power once again. And I just continue to ask myself, what are they so afraid of? I can't wait to talk to Will Sharpe next. Great guy to have in the studio with us when we return. So he's going to be in studio. If you've got questions for Will, you can leave them in the Annie Fry YouTube comment section on the live chat portion of our live broadcast. But you also need to go vote. Will you trust the results of the election? Yes or no? We'll be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Well, it's a Will Scharf day. Every day that we have a Will Scharf day is a good day. Will, welcome back into the studio. Good to see you.
Great to be with you, Annie. Thanks for having me.
It's wonderful when you're in here because you bring such a wealth of knowledge to our conversations where we pontificate on a lot of things. We basically do what we did before Google. We just wander.
Yeah, and Google exists now.
Yeah, I know.
And we still do it.
Will, one of the things that we kind of keyed in on today is... the YouTube poll for today is, will you trust the results of the election? Yes or no? And I think that you have to ask, you know, everybody's got 2020 in their head, but we're talking to majority Trump supporters who he lost that election. He's not the president. I mean, if you don't want to say if people are out there and they don't want to say that Donald Trump lost the 2020 election, you can't deny that Joe Biden's been the president since he was inaugurated in January of 2021. How big does fraud play a part in a regular election? I live in Illinois, so I know that it happens. How big of a part does it play in a regular election, and how do you feel about where we are right now compared to 2020?
So I think you have to think about election integrity holistically. You have to look at the whole picture. There were a number of aspects of the 2020 election that I think were particularly pernicious that are quite simply not being repeated. So, for example, the media blackout on the Hunter Biden laptop story. That's an issue that could have easily swayed the election to President Trump, could have affected millions of voters. They locked that down. Twitter, Facebook were all complicit with this FBI censoring operation. We haven't seen anything similar this time around. They're not covering Kamala unfavorably. CBS is, you know, covering up her interview. We're seeing sort of stuff around the margins. But the wholesale censorship that occurred in the 2020 election, that's just not happening.
How much do we credit Elon Musk for that?
I give Elon a lot of credit. I think having Twitter as a relatively open platform is a huge dynamic shift in American politics and, frankly, global politics as well. So I think there's a piece of that. I think also these media networks feel used and know that they screwed up, that they were sold on this story by the FBI, that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation, when in actuality it was just a cracked out son of a former vice president who left his laptop at a repair shop and forgot about it. I mean, the FBI had the laptop in their possession and then aggressively lied about it because it had been seized long before the story came to light in 2020. They had it in their possession and then just lied about it to all these networks.
Didn't
it's
they
insane.
Have it when the first impeachment trial was going on, and it wasn't Senator Grassley and maybe Graham, I don't know who the other one was. They were aware of an investigation into the Biden family, which was kind of brought up during that impeachment, because the perfect phone call that Donald Trump said he had with Zelensky, they were asking about things that were in relation to the Biden family, right? I mean, isn't that all interconnected? And that was much earlier on.
Yeah. So there's actually a great new book out about Hunter and this whole saga by Miranda Devine in the New York Post. Certainly by the time of the first impeachment, the FBI had already subpoenaed Hunter's iCloud account, which had almost all of the relevant information, text messages, emails, all of that. But then the FBI took possession of the physical laptop. They had it. They imaged it. They knew what was on it. Then the story pops, and they're out briefing Facebook and Twitter and all of these media companies saying that this is Russian disinformation. You have the Dirty 51, these 51 intelligence officers, including five former chiefs or acting chiefs of the CIA, saying this has the hallmarks of Russian disinformation. It was patently absurd. They all knew that they were lying. They should be held accountable. But this had a huge impact on the 2020 election. If that story had been in the news, had been in the mainstream news for the last 2 weeks of that election, I think Trump would have gotten millions more votes than he even got, and it wouldn't have been close. So we haven't seen that to the same extent this time around. CBS, you know, with this interview where they're refusing to release the transcript, ABC News, I mean, there have been issues, but nothing on the scale of what we saw in 2020. So that's number one. Number two, in 2020, because of COVID, we saw this rapid change in mail-in voting standards, in the way that votes were going to be introduced into the system. We call that the ingress process when we think about election integrity. We haven't seen similar changes this time around, which puts us on a much more even playing field in terms of getting our votes into the system along with the left. We also haven't seen the Zuckerbucks issue. Mark Zuckerberg has said he's sitting this one out. This era of private financing of election apparatuses in blue districts in key states, that's not happening this time around either. So just from a 10,000 foot view, I think we're in a miles better place than we were at a similar stage in 2020. And the polling is much better in 2020. I mean, Donald Trump was polling down significantly throughout the entire 2020 election. He really surprised people with his performance, with the fact that he got 74 million votes. This time around, he's polling up. I mean, look at the swing state polls. Look at even the national popular vote polls. Donald Trump, I believe, is going to win this election resoundingly. It's going to be bigger than 2016. He's going to get more votes than he did in 2020. It's going to be absolutely incredible. If the polls are at all correct this time around, we're in for a banner November, and I'm pretty excited about it.
Yay! Yay!
Hooray! Let's go to break.
All right, we're going to need you to clip that, and we're going to play it at this time every day for the next 14 days. Election Day is 2 weeks from now, and I think it's wild to think that it's this close, that we are 15 days, potentially, away from knowing who won this election. We talked a little bit in the first segment about January 6th, and it seems like that still seems to be one of the key things that the left goes to. It's always at the top of their priority list if they're going to interview somebody who's on the right. Like, you know, tell us about January 6th. What is your assessment, Will Scharf, on what took place on January 6th? And like I said in the first segment, I really feel like the major benefactor of what happened on that day that was shameful, the major benefactor was Democrats. It wasn't Donald Trump or Republicans.
So I'm going to address the question. Before that, though, I do want to note for all of your Missouri listeners, as of today, there is no excuse early voting. You can go out. You can go to polling places. You can vote in Missouri as of today.
All right.
You don't know what's going to happen on Election Day. Maybe it's going to rain. Maybe it's going to snow. Maybe you're going to have a personal problem.
Maybe they'll run out of ballots. Probably not in Missouri.
Get out early and vote. My plan today, when Brad told me that I could come on the show, was to go vote, then pick up McDonald's for the whole crew and come down here.
Work the fryers.
And work the fryers if they'd let me. I don't know. And then I got caught up with work this morning, so I'm going to hit McDonald's and a voting place as soon as I leave here. But to all your listeners, it's so important. Get out and vote. Make your voice heard. In terms of January 6th, I don't want to be flippant, but you know, the left called the Antifa riots a mostly peaceful protest. January 6th, you had 10 tens of thousands of people who showed up to the rally on the Ellipse, who peacefully protested there, who made their voices heard, who marched around Washington, D.C. and protested for election integrity. And that's totally fine. You also had, legitimately, hundreds of people who engaged in criminal acts, who engaged in violence, who broke the rules. Many of them have been held accountable. Some of them have had the book thrown at them in a totally unfair way. The full story, though, really hasn't come out, though.
That's the thing. That's what we're saying. Like, there's so... You weren't allowed to ask questions, talk about anything. And what it really did was shut everybody's just question mark that they had in their brain about the election. We became in a position where we couldn't talk about it anymore. I feel like there's still a huge piece of the puzzle missing.
We still don't know, you know, what FBI informants and undercovers were in that crowd. We still don't know who knew what and when. We're just starting to get more information out about the fact, for example, and we've known this for a while, that President Trump offered 10,000 D.C. National Guardsmen, 10,000 National Guardsmen to help secure Washington, D.C. He said, look, there are a lot of people coming out to this rally. We need to make sure we have security in place. And it was other folks who said that they didn't want to go down that road. And it was other folks, I believe, who were ultimately responsible for the failure to secure the Capitol that led to the terrible scenes we saw on TV. I mean, I've said this before, I think, on your show. I was in the Capitol the day that Brett Kavanaugh was confirmed to the U.S. Supreme Court. I was sitting in the Senate gallery when that vote happened. The Capitol was surrounded by like a ring of steel. There were thousands of protesters outside. They were amped up leftists. There were Antifa people. None of them made it anywhere near the Capitol. That just wasn't going to happen that day. When you look at the pictures from Jan 6, it's like six guys and some bike racks. I mean, why weren't precautions taken to make sure that this crucial part of our electoral process would proceed as planned? Why weren't the National Guard, you know, able to deploy quicker than they did? Why weren't more Capitol Police officers and more law enforcement officers out to make sure things didn't get out of hand to begin with? Those are the questions that the January 6th committee should have answered, but because it was set up to be a political hatchet job to damage the political prospects of President Trump, they just really weren't interested in that. They'd rather peddle lies about, you know, President Trump trying to attack a Secret Service agent and all this other garbage that they put out there. It was all a distraction ploy to take our attention away from what I think are the real issues, which was a security failure at the Capitol on January 6th, which obviously led to, you know, terrible consequences and terrible ramifications. But I really want the full story to be told. And I hope that after President Trump is back in the White House, folks get together and actually figure out what happened, in part to make sure that it doesn't happen again.
Yeah. Will Scharf, you ran to be the attorney general of the state of Missouri. You are one of Donald Trump's attorneys. I'm thinking about when Donald Trump hopefully gets elected here in 2 weeks, he's going to have the opportunity to really impact the lives of a lot of what is being referred to as J6ers. I don't know if the people classified at J6ers are all the same. You know, I don't think it's a black and white issue where it's like, you know, pardon or absolve all of them or not. What would you like to see happen, or what are the options that would be available to the president of the United States in regards to these people who have gotten caught up in a major political war?
So if I were the attorney general, I would order a case by case review of all of the January 6 cases. There are some people who legitimately broke the law and who were punished probably fairly. There were other people who I don't think did anything wrong, who had the book thrown at them, had their lives absolutely destroyed. And in both categories, I think at the end of the day, justice needs to be upheld. You know, my first supervisor in the U.S. Attorney's Office when I was kind of a cub federal prosecutor here in St. Louis used to say that our job is doing justice. Justice doesn't mean throwing the book at every person who comes in the door just because you can. Justice also doesn't mean giving everybody probation, even for serious crimes, just because you can. Justice is justice is justice. When I look at January 6th, when I look at what happened to all the people who got caught up in this insane FBI FBI dragnet after January 6th, I don't see justice there. I think some of the sentences have been wildly disproportionate. I think some of the charges that have been thrown at these guys, you know, this 1512C2 charge, which the Supreme Court essentially threw out with its Fisher opinion, this should have never happened. There was a goal by the Biden Department of Justice to basically send a message to conservatives that if you're loud, if you're vocal, if you participate in lawful political protest, we're going to come after you. And to me, that's just wrong. There's a guy from Vernon County, Missouri. I won't say his name on the air, but he walked into the Capitol dressed in colonial garb through an open door. He stood inside the Capitol, did nothing wrong, no violence, no protest, didn't even say much for 17 minutes. A police officer asked him to leave the Capitol, at which point he walked back out the door that he came in through. He was sentenced to a year in federal prison for that. To me, that's just, it's obscene, it's absurd, it's an absolute abuse of power. And that's the sort of thing that I'd like to see the Trump administration overturn once we hopefully take back control of DOJ in January.
That's a heartbreaking story, and I just think about the people who would have gotten caught up in that moment and being really the wrong place at the wrong time, even without any sort of the comparison to what we saw in the summer of 2020. I mean, I don't know how anybody with two honest brain cells to rub together can look at what Kamala Harris specifically investigated in getting people out of detention while they were destroying cities.
Yeah, look, Minnesota, I mean, you had a city being burned to the ground in Minnesota, out of control rioting for days and days and days. Governor Tim Walz, who now wants to be your next vice president, did absolutely nothing about it. Ordered his police, ordered his state resources to basically stand down and let his urban core be gutted. Meanwhile, Kamala Harris was raising money to bail out the few rioters who were arrested. I mean, these people just have an obscene view of the world, and that's really what's on display in this election. That's the stark contrast in this election. I mean, at the height of the Antifa riots in cities like Portland and Seattle, you had federal buildings, federal courthouses under attack for days. People lobbing explosives at them, Molotov cocktails, attacking federal marshals, attacking federal officers, attacking federal employees who were just trying to get to work. None of those folks were ever held accountable.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the next Trump administration take a firm, hard line against this sort of leftist violence we've seen on our streets for a very long time now.
And I see it every day. I see it on television. I see it from people who so aggressively hate Donald Trump.
Yeah.
It is the oxygen in their lungs. They hate Donald Trump so much. They are so aggressive in their defense of the attacks that come outside of January 6th. And that's why the questions get bigger and bigger with each passing day to me, to watch how much the left really needs January 6th in order to make a case that they think will possibly help them win against Donald Trump at the ballot box. They are obsessed with their hatred of Donald Trump. They are obsessed with the necessity of January 6th being something that it never was. And they are completely willfully ignorant and willfully blind to the facts of the matter that you're talking about and the humanity that exists in it. These people who hate Donald Trump this much hate their fellow man, their fellow American. They hate them so much altogether, all rooted in this like clinical obsession with their hatred of Donald Trump.
Yeah,
it's sad to see, honestly. It makes me sad.
Look at the George Floyd riots here in St. Louis. I mean, you had Captain David Dorn tragically killed.
Yeah.
Talk to any SLMPD officer who was out on the streets during those riots. They were taking gunfire. It's a miracle that more of them were not seriously wounded or, God forbid, killed. I mean, that's the sort of violence we need a Department of Justice and we need state law enforcement and state leaders willing to take on. And this constant focus on January 6th, I don't think it really serves anybody other than maybe the Democrats' electoral prospects. But I think the American people see through it. I think they see through this entire campaign of lawfare. They see through the news distortion. They understand what's at stake in this election. And what's at stake is the future of our country, not something that happened, 4 years in the past at this point.
Yeah. The deranged anti-Trumpers, never Trumpers, they're very hurt over this. And they can't argue with the benefit of living in Donald Trump's America versus the absolute tragedy of living in a Biden America, or obviously a Biden-Harris America. So they stick. They cling. They cling to their January 6th, and the substance just isn't there. Well, all right. Go ahead.
Look at the illegal immigration issue. I mean, we've had 15 million illegal entries, 15 to 20 million since Biden took office. Most of those are facilitated by, funded by cartels. Most of those illegals who are coming into the country now owe the cartels money, are part of the cartels' operations in one way or another, whether it's through remittance payments back to Mexico, whether it's through participating in human trafficking and drug trafficking. I mean, we have faced a wholesale invasion of our country since Joe Biden took office. To me, that is absolutely the number one issue, not, you know, how many people went into the Capitol on January 6th. And I think the American people are in the same place. I think they see our country confronted with very real problems that we need serious people to address.
Yes.
And the left just isn't providing serious answers.
Yeah, that is such a smart answer. The people obsessing over January 6th in this regard, they're just not serious people. All right, a quick break. Will, you going to stay for another segment?
Yeah, sure.
All right, we'll bump Wiggins America to 145, if that's okay with the man himself, the legend.
I will allow for it.
You'll allow for it? That's good, because he's standing right next to you.
That's my favorite segment.
You can stay to 145.
All right, fine, I'll do it, Will.
Watch it happen. Will Sharp in studio with us. We'll still be here when we come back. Don't go away. Now I'm back. Fry Show. Appreciate you being with us this afternoon. We got Will Sharf in studio here for the rest of this hour. Will, I want to ask you about the legal challenges that Donald Trump is still facing. We've seen some things about, I guess, Jack Smith or whatever. He's like a cockroach that won't go away, it seems like. Where is Donald Trump right now on the legal challenges? There's only 14 days to the election, so I imagine nothing consequential before then unless we get some sort of wild October surprise.
Yeah, you know, I think that's exactly right, that the Democrats' plan was to keep President Trump on trial basically every day through 2024. They had these four criminal cases all lined up, and then we knocked them down one by one by one. The D.C., you know, this presidential immunity opinion on July 1st was historic for a lot of reasons, but it essentially ensured that D.C. case would not go to trial before the election, which was a huge victory for us. Down in Florida, Florida documents case, we got a great ruling from Judge Cannon saying that Jack Smith was unconstitutionally appointed. That issue is now up on appeal before the 11th Circuit. We actually have a brief due down there this week. I think our legal arguments are very strong, but again, that case is going nowhere. Georgia, which everyone said, you know, oh, this is a state case, it's really threatening, he can't pardon himself.
What was Nathan Wade doing with the Biden-Harris folks?
Nathan Wade, first of all, if you take him at his word, has the worst memory of any man on the planet.
I don't recall.
I spent eight hours at the White House, which is a big deal. Like, most people don't just go to the White House. He doesn't remember a thing about it. Worth noting, by the way, that he was asked, you know, about this White House meeting on November 18th, 2022. That is the key day in understanding the campaign of lawfare against President Trump. Nathan Wade is checked into the White House for 8 hours. That same day, Jack Smith is appointed special counsel. And that same day, Matthew Colangelo, the acting number three at the Biden Department of Justice, gives his notice.
All on the same day?
Shows up same day.
Like, they're not even trying.
You think they would have spaced it a little bit. But Colangelo then shows up in New York and spearheads the prosecution in the New York DA's office. So the fact that Nathan Wade is unwilling to say anything about what happened on that day kind of tells you everything you need to know about what happened on that day.
If Donald Trump were to become president, would his appointees to Attorney General, whatever the Justice Department, whatever type of weeding out he does in that process, will he get access to any information that would give more color to the situation?
Well, you know, speaking personally, I would love to see Jack Smith and his team's emails. You know, they've gone out there. They have done, I think, this incredible disservice to the American people with not just the prosecutions that they've brought, but with the way that they've politicized what should have been a process rooted ultimately in the law and in the Constitution. I hope there are consequences for the worst actors. Certainly people like Nathan Wade and Fannie Willis and what they got up to down in Georgia, which I believe is criminal. And also just the special counsel's office, you know, attempting to run this prosecution as a political adjunct of first Biden and now Harris's campaign. That's just not the way that prosecutorial powers can ever be used in a well-ordered constitutional republic. So I'm hopeful. I think the first key thing is we've got to get President Trump over the line in November. And then I think there need to be ramifications for the people who abuse the law the way that we've seen in the last couple of years.
I'm very intimidated about how fun this is going to be if Trump wins. I don't want to want it so much that I am losing it because I wanted it too much. That's not how things work. But I just feel like the benefits of a Donald Trump presidency after years of watching what this Biden Department of Justice, this Harris Department of Justice has been willing to do to Donald Trump specifically, but also the American people. I guess I'll ask you that, Will. 5850? Is that
yes,
one round?
Yes, 5850.
Is Trump going to win?
Yeah, I think he is. I look to sort of mood in campaigns. You know, you look to the poll numbers, and then you have to think about initiative and mood and spirit. And I think Republicans are really excited right now, and Democrats are increasingly despondent. It feels in some ways like it did in 2016, where there wasn't real enthusiasm around Hillary, and there was tremendous enthusiasm around President Trump. I see that now, but even more so. Nobody actually wants Kamala Harris to be the next president of the United States of America. Maybe like six of her campaign staffers do. But nobody is excited about Kamala Harris. Literally nobody, including Joe Biden, quite clearly, based on his recent public statements.
Yeah.
Whereas the groundswell of support for President Trump that we're seeing every day in the key states, in states like Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and Georgia and North Carolina, I think it's going to be a huge victory in just a couple weeks. And I'm really excited for it. It's about time.
We're speaking with Will Scharf here in studio. Just a couple minutes left before we go. When we're talking about voter confidence in the election, today's YouTube poll is, will you trust the results of the election? Yes or no? You can vote on the Any Fry YouTube channel. What are you looking for on election night? Like, what are your red flags that you're looking to see in the event that you're questioning the integrity of what we're watching unfold?
If there's a last minute surge of absentee ballots, if the counting doesn't proceed in a normal fashion.
Is there ever a time to stop the counting in the middle of the night?
I think it's insane that that happened, and it's insane that more people haven't asked questions about it. The dynamic that we saw in 2020 with late arriving absentees shifting the whole game in states like Pennsylvania. If we start to see shenanigans like that again, it's time to cry foul and, you know, praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, send lawyers, guns, and money.
Yeah.
That's the terrain we'll be in. So far, though, I think that the Trump campaign and the RNC's teams are doing a good job. The Dems have tried to litigate in a number of states around voter roll purges and a few other issues like that. But it's nothing compared to the legal campaign that we saw from the Dems in 2020, which was largely enabled by the COVID epidemic and everything that they were sort of doing around that with ballot drop boxes and, you know, increased mail-in balloting. So I think we're in a much better place now than we were in 2020. And I think electorally, President Trump is in a much better place. You know, we've talked before about quantum of fraud. There's going to be some fraud in every election. The question is, does it change the outcome? And if Trump's going to win in a landslide, I don't think there's going to be enough fraud in this election to materially change the result. And we need to fight to make sure there's as little fraud as humanly possible for that reason.
20 seconds and we got to run. Will, do you think that it's all decided in the swing states, or do you think Trump pulls off one of the non-swing states in this election?
I think Virginia's in play. I think Minnesota could be in play. I think New Mexico could be in play. I think we're going to get some surprises on election night, and I think they're going to be good surprises, not bad surprises.
Will Scharf, everybody. Thank you for being in here today. We love having you. Trump attorney and former federal prosecutor for the Eastern District of Missouri. Our friend Will Scharf here. We'll have you back again soon. I cannot wait for these results, Will. Thank you for being in here with us today.
Thanks so much, guys. Sorry to push off Wiggins America.
Oh, no, don't be. It'll still happen, I promise. When we come back, Todd Sivia is going to join us in studio. It's Estate Planning Awareness Week, and we're going to take your questions on estate planning when we return. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.